WS2N Paul, and quite often Hal, K6TPZ. This group of four guys try to run this thing called the Technical Net, by which the clan of ham radio serious operators gather and share each other information, share with each other information about their favorite hobby, ham radio, and how to make it how to make all this hardware work better. There's 26 different kinds of ham radio. And the one you're listening to right now, 2-meter FM ham radio, is just one of them. For those who can't stay for the whole TechNet, it starts at 8 o'clock. It usually goes until 12 o'clock at night, 4 hours later. Even though the notice that we keep getting says that it starts at 8 o'clock and ends at 8 o'clock, it's said that for about a year. And everyone I talk to at Limark says that cannot be corrected. Wonder for another year if it'll keep saying the incorrect information. Someday it's going to be corrected. Hang in there. Have faith. Past 6.5 years of the TechNet, let me drop. The past 6.5 years have all been recorded by one very enthusiastic guy named Mike Perry, KC2NJI. And if you go to his website at www.amateurradio.tangovictor, you can listen to this the last 6 years of the Technical Net, if you so desire. And there were some people who can't stay up that late, and so all a few days after the TechNet, the most recent recording finally gets on that particular net. What some people do, because they can't stay up that late, is to go to the right year, the right month, the right week, the right hour in one-hour reels, put it onto their recording device, and listen to it while they're on the train, in the car, at noontime, whatever, if they so desire. There's also individual areas that are indicated Mike Perry's website by which you can select those particular articles on the subject of the Smith chart or decibels or antenna characteristics. In other words, he's selected out certain areas and told you which address you go to get those particular recordings, if that's what you want to know something more about. The TechNet has a schedule that we slowly derived over all the years, over the 30 years that it has existed. It started in September of 1982, and it's evolving, and what has evolved into right now is a 1 hour of brief questions and answers, so-called brief, and Hal is, K6TP said, is from time to time teaching me what brief should really sound like, because sometimes I'm a little bit long-winded. However, for the first hour and a half, we take questions and answers and give somewhat brief answers. That's followed by John, KC2WGB, digging into his mailbag, where people have sent him snail mail or emails or carrier pigeons. They've given him messages about the fact that they don't yet have the ham license or they don't yet have the equipment by which they can talk to us live, and they pose those questions to him. He selects some of the more universal questions, and we discuss those. That's then followed by Paul, WS2N, our space expert, telling us what National Aeronautics and Space Administration has been doing lately. And Wes, later on, when we have the more serious session after Paul, is possibly going to talk to about a new planet that's been discovered in our solar system. Apparently there's quite a retinue of stuff that was in that cloud that eventually became the sun, and an awful lot of that stuff is still there circling our sun, and it's being discovered. Not all of it's in the Oort cloud, the Kuiper belt, or whatever. Quite a few distances beyond Pluto, there's other planet-like things are circling this particular sun. Let me drop. Okay. Was that you, Eric?
Yeah, did you hear that crackling noise coming back on you?
I sure do. And it has gone away. And I thank you for the correction. You found out where it was coming from? Go ahead.
No, I thought it might have come directly from you, but okay, never mind.
To a degree, it is coming from me, Eric. That is to say, my main antenna, the one that gives me the higher signal to this repeater, is the one that also jams my family's television set. So I'm using a secondary antenna, which doesn't give quite as much signal to the repeater. And if need be, I can switch over and tell the family, well, it has to be that way. Alrighty, a person signs into the Technical Net by giving John, Paul, me, and Hal your call letters, your name, and the word yes, which means you do have a question or a comment for the net. You need not just sign in and tell us you're listening. After 30 years, we believe somebody is listening. We also don't start off with that mysterious question that an awful lot of net control operators say is, is there any emergency traffic? There never is. I don't know why they keep asking that question. It's some kind of a tradition. I'm not going to ask that question. A person signs in by doing something that sounds like this. Kilo Delta 2, Bravo Hotel Yankee, and Jim, and yes. If Jim did have a question or a comment, that's the way he would sign in. So we're going to take your check-ins right now. Give me your call letters and name, and the word yes if you do have a question or a comment. K2RIW in the Tech National.
Julia, back on 6.
KD2CMQ. Neil, yes?
Center Exam, West King, up to Bolt.
I sent a space report.
Good evening, Dick. Good evening, John.
Okay, so far we've heard Rich, Freddie from Far Rockaway, Neil, Wes, and Paul, who does have a space report. That's who we've got lined up so far. Anyone else to check in because they do have a question or a comment? Give me your call letters and name right now. K2RIW.
And I had a question along with that, Dick. WS Glenn.
Okay, you're on the question list. Very fine, Paul. Anyone else to check in? Give me your call letters and name right now. Okay, we've got more than enough to get started. You were a little bit weak, Rich, and I know you're in a convalescent home, I believe it is. And back to you if you do have a question. N2, Echo Oscar. Hope you got Barry was able to give you a good antenna. K2RAW in the TechNet. You got it, Rich.
WGB. Put me in for a quick one, too, Dick.
Roger. Got you up, John. Go ahead, Rich.
Okay, Dick, yes, I'm still in the convalescent facility. I'm using a little Yaesu FT23R handheld that Barry gave me. And it seems to be working quite well, Dick. As you can see, the push-to-talk is spit. I keep letting go of it. But it's not a bad radio. Hopefully we'll be on here more than off. And
very fine, Rich. I think I see what Barry did. He gave you that FT23R. It's got a very stiff push-to-talk button. You're in a convalescent home. And the staff is going to be watching as your strength gets built up, and you can then hold the push-to-talk button continuously. When your hand gets strong enough, that's when they're going to let you out of there. That's a test, Rich. A little bit of joke there, as you can tell. Good luck with that, and we'll see you down the log. Freddie, KB2, Victor, Bravo, November, from Far Rockaway. I wonder if Barry hasn't had a chance to visit you and start the first assessment of a better antenna for you, because I know that I think you're on the first floor of an apartment building. You've got a difficult environment to put up a good antenna for 2 meters. KB2, VBN, K2RIW. Go ahead, Freddie.
Antenna. I want to use it for emergency purposes. But anyway, they said that they have a frequency on 80 meters. Could I use a 75 meter antenna to tune to the 80 meter band?
Yeah, I think I know what you're asking. Can you use a 75 meter antenna on the 80 meter band or vice versa? And the answer is absolutely yes. One of the pieces of magic of what an antenna tuner can do, assuming you've got an antenna tuner that has a wide enough dynamic range, with rare exception, there is almost no antenna that can be made to work on almost any band. The slight exception is on exactly a 2-to-1 ratio, you're not going to make it. In other words, you take an 80-meter antenna and you feed it on 40 meters, twice the frequency. That's the magic number where the impedance of the antenna goes to thousands of ohms, and it might be beyond the range of what the antenna tuner can handle. But you could take an 80-meter antenna that's normally 132 feet long, and you could decide to build a 78 feet, 74 feet. You can make it a hell of a lot shorter because your property is not big enough, we'll say. And if the particular antenna tuner you're using has enough range to it, and if the feed line you're running is low enough and long, you can make that work. Well, what you're trying to do with an antenna will work well if you resonate it first. You first resonate, then it can radiate. And you're resonating the antenna radiating system, which consists of antenna, feed line, and antenna tuner. That combination, you can hit resonance with that combination. If the antenna tuner doesn't run out of range, it'll run like a charm. 75 meters versus 80 meters in either direction with a good antenna tuner, that's easy. You got it made there, Freddie. KB2, VBN, K2IIW in the TechNet. Okay, your signal was quite noisy. I think you asked a secondary question. I didn't quite get it, Freddie. So come back to me with that question again. KB2, VMQ, VBN, K2RIW, the TechNet.
Yes, this is KB2, VBN. Yeah, I have a magnetic mount, 2 foot, half-stick antenna that I bought from MFJ. That's the one that I have.
Okay, you told us you have a 2 foot hamstick that you bought from MFJ, and it's a mag mount. Okay, that's the beginning of a question. What's the rest of the question, Freddie? Go ahead.
I guess, could I put that on my air conditioner and make a good show with somebody in, somebody out there in the Virgin Islands?
Take DTZ with a comment.
Yeah, can you talk to the Virgin Islands on a 2 foot hamstick on the mount on the air conditioner? That's a tough one. Let's see what Hal has to say on that one. K6DPZ, K2LAW, go ahead, Hal.
Okay, that's my first question, sir.
10-2XGN with a question.
Hal, you got covered up that time, but you might have to give us a little more power, and repeat your comment, Hal. K6DP.
K2. You want the carrier, an omnidirectional half-wave antenna. Somebody must be real close to the site if you're taking me out.
Yeah, anybody hearing a signal that it shouldn't be there, please report it to RFI at amateur at limerunk.org. And don't tell us over the air. Report what you hear when you press the reverse button. How strong is the signal? And you may have to go to the sideband mode to hear a weaker signal, but how strong? Carefully record the signal strength and the time and report it to RFI, which stands for Radio Frequency Interference, at limerunk.org. And so go ahead with your comment again. You seem to be coming through pretty well now, Hal. K6DPZ, K2LAW in the TechNet.
Carrier on, yes, is it coming through?
I think you're coming through. Give it another try, Hal. Go ahead, Hal.
Yeah, K2RIW, K6DPZ. My question was, what band is that hamstick on? That's my first question, Philip. Now I want to give an answer on something.
Yeah, Freddie did tell us it's a 2 foot hamstick mag mount on his air conditioner. And you're trying to use that on what band to talk to the Caribbean, Freddie? KB2, Victor Bravo, November, K2RIW in the TechNet.
I'm going to try to talk to the
Okay, you're going to have to repeat what you just said, Freddie. Give that to us a couple of times because we missed your message. Go ahead, Freddie. if you're moving around with a handy talkie, you have found a position where the machine is not picking you up very well. So choose a slightly different position and answer that question one more time. Your two foot mag mount on the air conditioner. What band are you trying to use that on? Over to you, Freddie.
Make it Schumer's.
Try again, Freddie. Freddie, I think we're going to have to come back to you later. And we'll go through the list another time, and we'll come back to you later. Next person on the list was Neil. Kilo Delta 2, Charlie Mike, Quebec. Go right ahead, Neil. K2RAW in the TechNet.
Yes, thank you, Dick. First of all, I think somebody's interfering with the person who was just you were trying to contact before. I usually don't pick anything up on the input, on his input signal to the repeater, but when he was trying to talk, suddenly I was seeing some reading on the meter. Over.
Very fine, Neil. And so was I. So I'm going to be filing a report. You should file a report as to how strong it was at what time, and report that to RFI at Limark.org. Radio Frequency Interference is what RFI stands for. So RFI at Limark.org. How strong was the signal? What time did you hear it? And please report that. Now, I know you had a real question, so go ahead with your question, Neil. KD2, CMQ, K2RAW, the TechNet.
I'm trying to get this damn antenna system, new antenna up, and it's a Carolina Wyndham coax fed. The first 21 feet of the feed line coming off of the connection point is used as a, and what I'm trying to find is a way to measure the, you know, the first 21 feet, then it goes through an RF choke. What I'm trying to do is find a way to efficiently, or check the efficiency of the choke to see if it's actually stopping all the RF coming off the shielding. And I'm getting a lot, I'm just not being able to find any way or any simple way of measuring what's coming back into the shack. Over.
K6DPZ, comment.
Need a relay, Dick. I can relay all that information if you need it. Yeah, I heard it all. Hal's going to give us the brief answer. Go ahead, Hal.
K6DPZ. If he has a field strength meter, he could measure the radiation by putting just the field strength meter with a very small, you know, coupling antenna along the feed line. He could check it that way.
Repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout. Cancel.
Okay, what Hal said is a pretty good suggestion. A field strength meter, particularly with a short antenna held near that coax cable, will give you a pretty good indication. Calibrating it's a little bit difficult, but it gives you a pretty good indication as to how hot your RF coax is, how much RF it's picking up. You could also do a belt and suspenders, as I see it, Neil, and that is when you take the so-called poor man's balance, a few turns of the coax cable wrapped together, you know, a foot or so in diameter, a few turns of it held together with black tape or tie wraps, is an auxiliary RF choke. Adding another RF choke, like belt and suspenders, doesn't hurt. It guarantees your pants are not going to fall down. It guarantees that the RF is not going to come back into the shack. And a Carolina Wyndham, which is an off-center-fed antenna, it can have some excess RF flowing down that cable. So I don't think you should lose a lot of sleep over that one, Neil, because even if the coax is doing some of the radiating, yes, it makes your antenna pattern a little bit more complicated, but your main purpose in life is to radiate. And so if the coax does some of it, other than the fact it might give you some grief in the shack, I think you should go on and use the antenna. KD2, Charlie Mike, Quebec, K2LIW. Go ahead, Neil.
Actually, I was going to do some experiments. experimenting with some different types of RF chokes to see, you know, how broadband it is, because I've read that, you know, depending on the type of or how many windings you have will denote or will work better on some bands than others.
Repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout. Cancel.
I was hearing everything you were saying on the input, Neil. You were talking about putting the two chokes together with the toroids as a recommended procedure, I guess, for the instructions for your Carolina Wyndham. Run that by again, just to make sure we got what you were saying. Over to you, Neil, K2RIW.
When I read all the articles that went along with the RF choke that was in QRZ magazine a couple months ago, it recommended, or it said that what you needed to do was spread the coils out, so you had like a globe of coils around the toroids. And my thinking was, well, if a poor man's balum is the coils together, then you add the toroids around the coils. Would that be far more efficient than spreading them out? Over.
Yeah, I think I know what you're asking. And by the way, the word efficient, you, as an antenna person, the word efficient really means how much of your RF is being radiated, as opposed to being turned into heat. So as RF is not being turned into heat, you are radiating it. And the quickest way to measure the rate, the quickest way to measure the, looks like I'm going to have to switch over to the higher power antenna. Stand by while I check with my family. I'll be back in about 30 seconds.
NY2HF, Dennis with a comment.
Okay, I got the clearance from the family to jam the television set so I can use the higher power antenna. When you're worried about the word efficiency of an antenna, it's got lots and lots of meanings, but the real meaning is of, let's say, the 100 watts you're putting into the antenna system, is 100 watts being radiated into space? That's what you and I really care about. And any power you put into a transmission line and antenna, there's only about three things that can happen to it. Some of it reflects back as standing wave ratio, and your bird watt meter will tell you how much is going forward and how much is going back. Some of it can be lost due to heat, and the rest of it's going to be radiated. Your bird watt meter is going to tell you that information pretty fast, but whenever anything is wasting RF energy, the only way it can really waste it is to turn it into heat. And you've got an extremely sensitive way of confirming that. You put 100 watts into the antenna, you run a key down for 5 minutes, you turn off the transmitter, you run over there and touch everything with your hand. And if everything is ice cold, you're not absorbing it in heat. You're probably radiating it, if you know what I mean. So that's the quickest way to measure efficiency. And you'd be amazed how sensitive that is. Because a couple of watts of dissipation will give you an amount of heat that your hand will easily feel, and a couple of watts of loss out of 100 watts coming out of the transmitter represents, you know, 98% efficiency, and it represents an insertion loss of 0.05 dB, which is very negligible. So it's a very sensitive test, if you have any doubt on that one, Neil. KD2, CMQ, maybe that helps a little. K2LAW in the TechNet. Wait for the four beeps.
I mean, I've heard that before, and I understand it completely. It's just hard to figure out how to jump 35 feet up in the air to grab the antenna to see if it's warm or not. However, that's the word efficiency incorrect. He's looking for the ability of the choke to keep, since it's purposely I'm putting RF onto the shielding for the first 21 feet or so, I'm looking to see or to move the best way to stop it. from coming into the shack, you know, to create a bottom radiator. Hopefully that explains it a little better.
This is DP3 with a comment. D6DPC with a comment.
Are you getting through beautifully, by the way? Just want to let you know. Yeah, we're going to have lots of reports tonight. Dennis and Hal in that order are recognized. Where you're worried about RF coming back into the shack, you can be double darn sure it ain't going to come back in the shack if you add a poor man's ballon. A couple of turns of coax cable held together with tape or tie wraps. Almost no RF can get through that. And the insertion loss of those couple of extra turns is again, very negligible. So if you have any doubt, that's about the quickest way. Now, I know that Dennis has asked us to make some comments on this. NY2HF, you almost never pronounce that F, but, Neil, that's why, I mean, Dennis, that's why I sometimes don't hear you. NY2HF, K2RIW. Go ahead, Dennis.
Thank you, Dick. No, this is actually ancillary to what we are discussing here. I'm wondering if every person on this net writes to the FCC to get them to get off their hindquarters to track this person. You know, at the end of the day, we shouldn't be the persons that are tracking this person. They should. That's their mandate. They not only have the control over the airwaves, but they also have the policing authority. So what I'm trying to say is, should everybody on this net in Canada, in New York, in New Jersey, all throughout the world who are listening in on this through Echolink, should they write the FCC and say, listen, enough's enough. We shouldn't have to up the power. We shouldn't have to listen to the input and everything else. I'm sorry. This is just a real quirk of mine because it's disrupting a really good informational net. And frankly, I thank you, Dick, for doing what you do for so many years. I you know, my hat's off to you. So what do you think about that? NY2HF.
Yeah, very fine, Dennis. Couldn't hurt if we wrote letters and asked for help. However, in the past, the FCC usually wants the ham radio operators to keep their own nest clean, so to speak, to do most of the legwork for identifying who. And once you identify who and his location, they'll take over from there. They are on demand. You and I could... what we leave you on to do is, you want to go to the source of the problem, you've got to go back to your congressman and say, why in the world do you keep cutting back the funding that the FCC has so that they don't have as much resources to do radio direction finding and so on. So they are cut back in resources, and they do the best they can with the resources they got. So we got to do all of the above. Write letters both to our congressman and to the FCC, and... join a fox hunting crew. In other words, LIMOC, among other clubs, particularly headed up by Andy, the B2CDL, they periodically do a fox hunt, and as we have more people with better... As we have more people with better dot scans, as we get more proficient with radio direction finding, we will be quicker at identifying this. This is not a unique problem for New York City. Every major metropolitan city in almost every part of the world has this kind of a jamming problem from time to time. Al, I know you want to make a comment on all of the above. K6DPZ, K2RIW and the TechNet. K2RIW
and TechNet, K6DPZ. Yeah, on that Carolina Wyndham problem, if he doesn't want RF in the shack, if he gets a hold of an ICOM AH4 tuner, puts it outside, lets his coax go into the tuner, and then bring the coax from the tuner into the shack, it'll be as smooth as a baby's rear end. No RF in the shack. That's my comment.
Okay, that's it was so brief that it gives us some extra questions, Hal, and that is the AHF tuner automatically a perfect balance? In other words, it'll take an unbalanced coax cable at one end and give you a balanced line at the other end that won't allow any further RF to go down that line. Is that what you're saying, Hal? K2LAW?
Random wire tuner, AH4, VIACOM, and you can feed the random wire end onto your coax from the Carolina Wyndham, and then the other end will be a terminated flat line going into the ham shack. We have no radiation on a speed line there.
Okay, you're making us breathe heavy about that AH4, Hal. Roughly how many dollars? How available? What brand name? Where do you buy it? Give us a few words on this AH4 tuner that you're in love with and we should be in love with. Go ahead, Hal.
Okay, the AH4 tuner is made by ICOM. You can find them used anywhere from $250 to $275, about $350 new, if I remember correctly. Also, an SGC tuner, which is also a random wire auto tuner. They're a little more expensive. But that would cure the problem. You pull it outside. You don't have to feed it with power. Power sped up the line, and it will match the impedance of the Carolina Wyndham's coaxial cable, and then everything out of the tuner on the other end will give you no radiation on that coax.
Okay, you said some other magic words that give me some questions. AH4 tuner outside. From that, I sense that this is a weatherproofed item that you put outside and you remotely operate it. Does it have an automatic mode? Does it have a manual mode? And am I correct, if you're putting it outside, is it a weatherproofed item? Over to you, Hal, K2LAW.
The weatherproof item, it's automatic. As soon as you put a little RF in it, it will start to stop and sink. It'll work from 80 meters all the way up to almost 6 meters. And they're very good. I, matter of fact, use one at my facility. I've had very good luck with it. No radiation inside the shack when the feed line comes in. Whatever the impedance is it sees outside stays outside.
Okay, now this, I know that we're allowing testimonials. I mean, we amateurs talking to each other, we don't give a damn if it's a... You're not in the business of selling this particular ICOM product, so we're not worried about that. So don't worry about the testimonial. If anybody goes to your website, they'll see a tremendous amount of equipment you've got, you've been using over the years. So of all the antenna tuners you've ever used now, is this your favorite? In other words, if a person sitting out there says, I'm not sure if I want to buy an antenna tuner, I'm not sure if I want to spend a couple of $100, like $300 worth for it, but if I'm buying a Cadillac that Hal says is the best thing since Big Bread or Little Women, that this is the one to buy, is that sort of your recommendation, Hal? Of all the ones you've ever used, is this one of your favorites, one of the best bang for the dollar? K6DPZ, K2LIW in the TechNet.
K2LIW in TechNet, K6DPZ. Yeah, we use an SGC in one facility. We use an AH4 ICOM in the other facility. They work very well. They're very reliable. They can be put outside, not affected by weather, and they're very good. And it cures a lot of problems. The power limitation, you can run about almost 200 watts PEP into them, no more than that. There are higher powered random wire tuners out there that SGC makes, but they go start going very high in price. But if you're just running 200 watts PEP, the AH4 tuner made by ICOM is very good, and the SGC tuner made by SGC is very good. Ham Radio Outlet has them. That's my comment as far as where you can get them. Delaware.
Very fine, Hal. Lots of good information there. And you anticipated my next question, how many watts? So up to 200 watts, one of your favorites is the ICOM AH4 tuner. Now, whether or not Neil wants to spend a few hundred dollars like that as one approach that he can match almost any antenna he's ever going to own, or whether he's willing to use the $1 approach, so to speak, by making the poor man's balun a few turns of coax, which is an RF choke, with very little insertion loss as far as the signal flowing down the poor man's balun, multiple turns of coax cable held together with black tape or tie wraps. Either one of those approaches, as I see it, Neil, will give you a sleep. You won't have a sleepless night worrying about RF getting back into the shack from your Carolina Wyndham. And as you go further with this project of assuring that no RF is flowing down your coax, come back and let us know
strength meter and a couple wraps of coax. But thanks, everybody, for the information, and as always, thank you, Dick.
Very fine, Neil. Come back and let us know how that works. Next person on a question on our list with questions is Paul. It's about time you ask us a question, Paul. You're normally supplying the information about what NASA is doing. WS2M, K2RIW. You got a Paul.
Okay, Dick, quick question, really, involving if you were in the backyard and wanted to take a 2-meter, 5/8 mobile whip and put it, let's say, on a top of a piece of PVC pipe, 1.5 inches, and you wanted to put it up a full length, which would be 20 feet or 15 feet. The question is, do you have to make up some kind of ground plane wires coming off the top of the PVC, you know, putting them at a 45 or something? Because usually you need a ground plane. You put it on the roof of a car, you got a ground plane. You put it on the air conditioner, and start it, you know, on your house, you got a ground plane. As long as it radiates, I would be happy, but I don't have an SWR meter for 2 meters, or one of those MFJ units that they have. I don't have that. I wouldn't want to have a high SWR and affect the radio transmitting for a long time. I know you can get transmissions out here and there, but, you know, if you put a HC with 5 watts out, I wonder if you could eventually start to heat up the finals. What would you need to do, Dick? Just to be sitting in a lounge chair, put the antenna up, because I'm just shy of both repeaters, you know, Audis and Glen Oaks. I just make it, but I'd like to make it a little bit better. Or should I, you know, just put some ground planes, ground radials on the top of the PVC? Back to you, Dick.
6DPC with a fast comment.
Yeah, I would put the radials. Let's see what Hal's got to say.
Thanks, Dick. Okay, a fast way to do it, if you're putting it on top of a piece of PVC pipe, starting at the top of the PVC pipe, give yourself some tinfoil. Wrap tinfoil around the PVC pipe so it's about 19 inches. Mount your antenna on the top. Make sure the mounting of the antenna goes to the tinfoil, which is going 19 inches down the PVC pipe wrapped around the pipe. Use lacquer if you want to protect the tinfoil or whatever. And that would give you a counterpoise. Very simple to do, and it will work very well. Over.
And I would run the coax up the PVC pipe, if you can do that. Because if the tinfoil is laying completely parallel to the coax cable with, nothing but the PVC, polyvinyl chloride outer jacket of the coax is the only separation between the two, it will change the toning of the 19-inch tinfoil. So the 19 inches of tinfoil with the coax running up the center of the coax of the PVC pipe, I think is a nice mechanical arrangement. You could also put radials, but you're absolutely right, Paul. The mag mount was designed to be on the sheet metal at the top of a car with its mag mount, and that is its counterpoise. It'll work otherwise. If you just ran the coax up to it, you might not see it as a visual problem, even if you had a visual meter on 2 meters. Still, your coax is likely to be hot, and there's a slim chance if you're unlucky with the length of the coax being hot, it could give you a null on the horizon to the signals to the repeater you want to go to. Whereas with this 19-inch of tinfoil and or putting real 19-inch radials on it, whichever you choose, you're much more guaranteed to get the pattern you want at that altitude and less RF flowing down the outside of the coax. That seemed to make some sense, Paul. WS2N, K2RIW in the TechNet.
K2SLW with a comment?
Tinfoil idea. Very good. Yeah, I just have full-length PVC laying in the backyard, you know. I've used for other purposes, and it would be good. All I have to do is throw it up, lean it up against the a branch of this tree or something, and I'd have instant communications, you know. I mean, it's the ultimate of laziness. I could come in the house and turn on this radio, but it's nice to be sitting in the in the backyard working there. PH days is kind of fun. And also, of course, you hear the signals better. You tune around. So, good idea with the tinfoil. I'm going to do that. 19 inches down. You wire it or secure it one way or the other.
Into SLW with a comment?
Sounds good, Dick. And then maybe later on in the net, you know, I would have one other question. Antenna question. Dealing with camping. Back to you, Dick.
354. And yes, you do want to make that tinfoil, the 19 inches long, well connected by some means to the bottom of that mag mount. John, N2SLW, go right ahead with your comment, John.
KC2QIQ with a comment.
Okay, thanks, Dick. It came to me that perhaps if you put the tinfoil or the aluminum inside the PVC pipe, it would be more durable and still serve the same function.
Glenn recognized, and John, not a bad suggestion. The olive is blind. It doesn't care if you put it on the inside of the pipe or the outside of the pipe, and put the coax in the opposite. Not a bad idea to give you a weatherproofing. And I'm, what in the world am I doing in my shack that I'm hearing audio feedback? Do I have a rig turned on? No, I don't. Okay. Maybe the repeater is doing it tonight. Glenn, tell us the benefit of your wisdom on this one. KC2QIQ. The microwave voice of Master Beaker, KQIW. Go ahead, Glenn.
Hey, good evening, Dick, and good evening everybody on the web, too. Just an interesting thing that I had learned a long time ago as a kid. An old 26-inch bicycle wheel, the spoked rim, you don't need the tire on it anymore or the tube, but just having the bicycle rim held horizontally underneath the mobile antenna makes a fantastic ground plane. And usually the spokes and things like that, there's many ways to fasten it to a pole, and it's really not that hard to do. Especially like around the hub, you can even use things like the those little slip wire ties and just pull them around the side of your PVC and it would hold it there. Let me let it drop for a second. The other thing that I noticed too that makes a very, very good one is there's a couple of places, I think you can find them on eBay, that for mobile antennas, both either the PL259 type or the NMO, the new Motorola mount type of mobile antennas, they make a ground plane that has four radials that work for both 2 meters, 70, and 70 centimeters. It's a very, very nice little thing. It's about $25 and gives you a place to screw in your coaxial mount and your antenna on the other side, and it just has four nice little radials on it. Works very, very well. Actually, I'm using one here at my shack as well.
To you with a quick comment, Dick.
Why do you recognize Lou Epic, that is? Okay. Well done, Glenn. Like to hear that that ground plane you talked about with the radials for both 6 and 2 meters. Here we go. 2 meters and 70 centimeters. When it comes to the 26-inch bicycle wheel, where in the world did you hear about that one? Very crafty. Was that an experiment that you did, or did somebody in Florida tell you about that one? Where did that one come from, Glenn? That's out of the blue. KC2QIQ, KQRIW, the TechNet.
At the time, I had a mobile antenna that had that was part of a mag mount, and I had no ground, and the antenna was just not, there was nothing I could put it on, even other metal surfaces. The match was really, really poor, and tends to be pretty narrow also. And just as a fluke, I was looking for something metal, and I had an old bicycle rim, and I just kind of laid the mag mount. I didn't even galvanically attach the ground. I just put it basically up on top of where the spokes are in the middle of the hub. And all of a sudden I saw the VSWR drop dramatically. I was like, that's interesting. And then I made a galvanic ground with the and a little separate mount for the mobile antenna right onto that bicycle rim, the 26-inch bicycle rim. And it was fantastic. It just, it was one of the best ground planes ever. Well, it's got lots of radials. I think there's typically, I think, like 36 spokes on a typical 26-inch bicycle rim. So if you know of any old bicycle rims floating around, especially the stainless steel spokes, they don't rust. And an aluminum rim, and they're not particularly all that heavy. They're pretty easy to get to mount to either a steel pole, aluminum pole, or PVC. KC2QIQ.
To leave the rim on, Glenn?
leave the rim on and you don't care whether or not the tire is there. Is that true, Glenn?
Sam, out.
Absolutely, Dick. Yeah, the tire is optional. It doesn't even need air.
Charlie recognized, but Mike comes first. I'm sorry I got you to confuse you with somebody else, Mike. I'm awful glad to hear from you. WY2U, tell us what the smart guys in Rockville Center are doing tonight. You got it, Mike.
Well, good evening to you, Dick, and everybody on the net. Glenn, how you doing? Just an alternative to the aluminum foil, which I like as a suggestion, by the way, as a other half of the missing part of the monopole to make a dipole. I'm looking at it in my hand right now. My Auburn repair fella left me some of this stuff. It's called Nashua tape. It's aluminum tape with a sticky background. This particular roll looks like it's about 2.5-3 inches across. And what I'm thinking is, if you want to just glue this to the outside of the PVC, it'll be a lot more permanent connection than just, you know, trying to figure out a way to lay in a piece of aluminum foil. This is the high-temperature stuff that the oil burner people use to seal up the chimneys and whatnot. And they also make copper tape, too, but I'd be a little bit worried about oxidizing in bad weather. This is aluminum. It should last pretty much indefinitely. But, again, I like the idea of the aluminum foil, but I think this might be a little mechanical, a better mechanical way to proceed, Dick. What do you think? Go ahead.
6DPZ with a comment.
I'm going to use that.
PZ with a comment.
I'll recognize you're going to be after Charlie. Nashua tape that you're talking about, Mike. Boy, that sounds like really beautiful stuff. Yes, your oil burner repairman left some of that with you. Do you think I'd be able to buy that at a Sid Harvey store? Where would I go to get this Nashua tape, Mike, in your opinion? Think you've seen it at Sid Harvey? WY2U, K2RIW, the tech man.
Dick, can I throw my comment in before I QRT? WRW, K6DPZ, for just a quick comment.
Go ahead, Al.
So the adhesive is, if you start wrapping that tape around, the problem they have, it will be inductive because it will be insulated between one wrap to the other, so it could present inductive properties. It's not going to be a pure metallic conductive surface. So think twice about using that tape of tape, K6TPZ.
The way Mike described it sounded to me like it was a wide enough piece of tape that you could run one strip of it down the PVC pipe. Let's see what Mike's got to say on this one. WY2U, where do you get it? And is it wide enough that one strip down, it wouldn't have to be spiraled because it might not have conductive adhesive? WY2U, K2RAW, the tech man. Go ahead, Mike.
I agree with them about the fact that it's a very poor electrical conductor because of the adhesive. This particular strip is 3 inches wide. I'm looking online. It looks like it's Nashua 322-3 foil tape. The only real listing I saw for it seems to be on eBay, but I gather it's available somewhere. The name of the company that makes it, and I did go to the webpage, but for some particular reason that page doesn't seem to be working. It's called CovCorp, C-O-V-C-O-R-P. The webpage is www.covcorp.com, but the page seems to be corrupted for some particular reason. I wasn't able to log on. This particular tape, again, is 3 inches wide. I don't know how big in diameter this fellow's PVC pipe is, but this will probably handle up to about, I'd say, 7/8 of an inch diameter PVC, so it should go continually around the pipe without having to spiral it. And I wouldn't spiral it. If you have to piece two pieces together in the vertical dimension, I think you could use maybe a piece of aluminum strapping or something like that to guarantee conduction. But I don't think it would be a big deal to just guarantee that you're going to completely straddle the pipe there, Dick. Go ahead.
Vertically, there'd be no problem. K6DPZ is going to go QIT.
Very fine, Hal. And you know, sounds like a beautiful way to go, Hal. With 3 inches wide, it doesn't matter if it wraps all the way around the PVC pipe. Even if it's using 4-inch diameter and it only went around, 30% of the distance and
Repeater, time out.
NY2HF, Dennis, what a comment.
Yeah, you're on the list, Dennis. You don't have to worry about wrapping it as a U channel or whatever. It's going to, RFWISE is going to do the job. The next guy who was on the list was Charlie, WA2, Horse Mounted Mobile. What do the smart guys in Smithtown say on this one, Charlie? Go ahead, Charlie.
K2RW on the group WA2HM and mobile. It's a quickie. You might want to use some EMT, which is because you stick it in there and the mag mount would sit on top of the EMT, which is of course magnetic, and that might work out for them. And instead of using a mag mount, another way to do it is just in the old-fashioned way of making a ground plane. Use an SO-239 and some coat hangers. You know, bend the radios down 45 degrees. Just a monopole, and away you go. With that, Dick, I got to get out of here, but I just wanted to make that comment. Good hearing you. WA2HM on mobile, Smithtown.
Very fine, Al. And Charlie, good suggestion. Yep. And the difference between a quarter wave ground plane made out of coat hanger wire, like you said, with an SO-239, a very classic antenna that's built quite often by beginners getting into ham radio. Works like a charm. And the difference between a 5/8 wave and that quarter wave ground plane that we just described, maybe you're going to get 2 dB of difference. It's not a hell of a lot of difference. It's not going to, with rare exception, it's not a make or break. You can easily get 2 dB more gain out of the antenna, so to speak, by raising it 2 more feet in the air. Altitude is everything on VHF. And so we're trying to get there are people who will, you know, trade in their grandmother to get 2 more dB out of an antenna. And when you can so easily get it with a little bit more altitude, it's not a good trade-off. Let's see, I think it was, who was it now? Was it John who was the one to make a further comment? Give me a call, letters, K2LAW.
It's Very Plastic Corporation. I found the link, and it's Nashua Tape number 322, aluminum foil tape.
Okay, yeah, Dennis recognized, but once again, Mike, Nashua, Cutcorp, CouCorp.com. I think you said they're finally registered. Roughly how expensive is this stuff? Give us whatever you got on that one, Mike. WY2U, K2LAW in the TechNet.
I seem to have everything but the price, but I seem to find a better link, too. Berry Plastics Corporation. Looks like they have it in stock, and they have all these specs on it and everything, too. It's Nashua Tape Products, 322, general purpose, foil tape, 2 mil aluminum, foil backing. It's rated, believe it or not, to 200 degrees Fahrenheit. It's, again, the main purpose, I believe, is sealing around the concrete for a chimney, usually connecting to an oil burner or something like that. But this is actually mil spec. All the data is on this webpage, but I have everything here but the price. It looks like you're gonna have to get a hold of them from this particular outfit there, Dick. Specs are there. You can get a sample, which is probably all he needs. Looks like they'll give you a free sample. If he was to request the 20-inch piece, I bet you he'd get it for free.
Fantastic, Mike. There's only one slight limitation here now. That tape is only good to 200 degrees Fahrenheit. Paul runs a pretty hot rig, and so I don't know. He might exceed that one. I'm having some fun with him. You said Berry Plastics Corp. Is that Baker Edward Romeo Yankee? Is that the way you spell Berry Plastics Corp? I wasn't sure of your pronunciation there, Mike. WY2U, K2LAW in the TechNet.
Negative. It's actually berryplastics.com. One word, berryplastics, common spelling, .com. Go ahead.
Very good information, Mike. Awful great to check in. Please come back more often. Dennis, NY2HF. Tell us your comments on this one, Dennis. K2RAW in the TechNet.
Thank you, Dick. When I used to work at the JFK Airport, there was something called 500 mile an hour tape. It was really thick aluminum. It was probably about 10 inches wide. You can get it in any length you wanted. And what would happen is when a plane came in with a hole, they would put 500 mile an hour tape on it, slap it on, it had adhesive, and they'd send the plane off. It really didn't matter what was going on. This tape didn't come off. And it was actually pretty thick. I've actually used it on a pre-catalytic converter exhaust system to pass inspection. So I think you'd probably have to Google 500 mile an hour tape, and you can get it in just about any dimension you want. It's probably not cheap, but it's real good, and it's adhesive, just like the other one that the other ham was talking about. Back to you, Dick.
KC2QIQ with a comment.
Glenn recognized. Hey, Dennis, that sounds like super tape. 500 mile per hour tape. Not quite sure where to get it. Run by again when an airplane comes down with a hole. Give us a couple of words on that one. Is somebody shooting at those airplanes? How does an airplane come down with a hole that you cover over with 500 mile per hour tape? NY2HF, K2RW, the tech man.
Meteors.
NY2HF. What would happen is sometimes bird strikes would put a hole in the skin. Also lightning. Sometimes, you know, an errant fueler, before they were below the wing and they were above the wing, yeah, different issues like that. So that's why they came up with it. But it's well known in the airline industry, at least it used to be. I've been out of there for a while, but it was called 500 mile an hour tape. It was pretty thick. It wasn't thin stuff, so actually, if you use it for a ham purpose, it's going to last a real long time. You're not talking aluminum foil. You're talking about something that, you know, you got to give a little oomph to bend around the pipe. Back to you, Dick.
Well done, Dennis. Thank you for that suggestion. Glenn, the smart guys in Florida, what do they do in a case like this? KC2QIQ, K2RIW, and the tech man.
Just a couple of quick words on the adhesive tapes. Most of all the adhesive tapes, they're clones of it, like Mike had mentioned. But the company that makes most of them, including that 500 mile an hour tape that Dennis is talking about, is 3M. 3M makes all of it. As a matter of fact, if you Google copper aluminum adhesive tapes, you'll see 3M's got a whole line of them, and they come in all kinds of thicknesses, widths, whatever you'd like. But the original comment I wanted to make, when you let it drop, was Hal was mentioning inductance. If you were to start wrapping the tape around the pole, and the issue there is that there really is no inductive effect if you keep on wrapping it, even if you did 12 wraps around the pole. The reason why is because the winding is in the wrong direction. It's 90 degrees the wrong way mechanically. Because, in other words, if you wanted to get inductance, you'd have to have a wire on the inside and on the outside, and then have the winding not shorting against each other. But being that the only insulation between the winding would only be the adhesive, so which would be, you know, mild at best. And the other fact is that you're running down the length of the copper tape, so there would be no additional inductance to wrapping it around, so I wouldn't worry about wrapping the tape. K2IW, KC2QIQ.
Yeah, I'm with you, Glenn. When it comes to tape that's this wide, and you run it straight down the pipe, and then the width of the tape is wrapped around the pipe, that's not creating any inductance. Even if you spiral the tape, when you got tape that's 3 inches wide, as Mike was suggesting,